Hi, thanks for calling Android Technical Support at T-Mobile. How can I help you?
My name is Phil Nickerson, and
oh, Mr. Nickerson, did you break another phone?
No, not this time. I just don't get 3G in my home.
Ah, Mr. Nickerson, that's okay. We here at T-Mobile, we can't go down any further. We're already number 4, so therefore, we just don't care. And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, people of all colors, especially Android Green, welcome to the Android Central Podcast with Phil Nickerson, Jerry Hildebrand, and a bunch of friends. Enjoy.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode 33 for Thursday, October 7th, 2010. And we have like 5 million phones to talk about. There's no two ways around it. It's CTIA week, fall CTIA trade show in San Francisco this fall, and Dieter Bone is out there. We don't have him on the podcast, but we do have Jerry Hildebrand.
Howdy.
And we do have Corey Streeter from the forums.
Good evening, everyone.
And let's just get to it, because literally, we have, what do we have, like 12, 13 phones to talk about, guys?
Something like that.
Yeah.
A bunch.
Like two a day, two new ones a day.
It's like 2 an hour.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yesterday it was amazing.
Some cool stuff, though.
We're here with the live chat room. For those of you listening to the recorded show, we got a chat room live. We do this live every week. We're actually going to have a little bonus at the end of the show this week. Renee Ritchie from Tippy and I chatted for a little bit yesterday about openness and open-y and open and closed and all that, because I know that's a big thing for everybody. He's already published it on the Tippy feed, so maybe you've heard it there. But for those of you listening to the recorded version of this, it'll be after the rest of the show, so we'll get through all the phones first. And if you want to stick around for that, you can. So, we've had, what, a dozen phones announced. Which one do you guys want to talk about first?
Let's talk about the Droid Pro.
I think we have to talk about the Droid Pro, right? That is probably the sexiest one. Motorola, Verizon, Droid Pro, keyboard. It's, you know, everybody keeps calling it like a BlackBerry killer, or please don't call it a BlackBerry killer. That's just stupid. One phone will not kill a platform. Even the iPhone has not killed an entire platform yet.
It's the Pixie Plus Plus.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
That's what it is.
It's the old Q9H keyboard.
I don't know about that.
Oh, I do. Have I ever mentioned how much I miss my Q9H?
Yes.
I'm going to mention it again, because it's coming back. It's essentially that keyboard, right? And I saw one person said something about, you know, RIM's going to sue over the keyboard. RIM licensed out their keyboard a long time ago, I think. Old Trios used to use that. So what you have is a full QWERTY keyboard on the front with a touchscreen on the front. Here's the thing about the touchscreen. All right, it's 3.1 inches. That I think I can get over, but the resolution's pretty low.
Yeah.
This is not a 480 by 800 touchscreen. This is 320 by 40? It's half EGA.
Yeah.
That's going to take some getting
odd.
Used to.
Why would they even do that? I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
Price or processing, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a reason. They didn't want to make it look to the consumer like they were stepping backwards. So there has to be a reason that they did it.
I don't know. I want to think price is probably the first thing. But maybe, no, that doesn't make sense. I don't know. It's going to be a tough one. I'm going to have to think long and hard about that. So it's 320 by 480. It's got Froyo. It's got a TI OMAP processor at 1 gigahertz. It's got that same PowerVR graphics processor that the Droid X does. So that kind of really leads me to believe that maybe it's a money thing. Oh, hell, I don't know. It's got 2 gigabytes of ROM, 512 of RAM. 8 gigabytes of internal storage on top of that. That was something that was actually left out of the press release, so it's getting a little weird. But if you go to the Moto Dev forums, they have full specs on devices. Let's see what else. 5 megapixel camera. That's 480p video recording. Wi-Fi BGN. Flash player, AGPS, compass, all that usual stuff. Why should I not get this? Oh, and it's a world phone. So to work overseas, how could I not get this?
It's got that screen. I mean, it sounds So spec-wise, I think the phone sounds great. I mean, it's a lot like the Droid X or the Droid 2, but I just can't understand why they would downgrade the screen so much. After all this time looking at beautiful screens, there's no way I could look at that.
It's going to be tough. What do you think, Jerry?
I think that they are marketing this phone to the executive or the guy who thinks he's an executive. look, they wanted to show off the exchange support. They're debuting it at, you know, the CTIA in the fall, you know, instead of waiting for, you know, the springtime to come around, you know, the consumer show. And, you know, the businessman, he's not going to be playing Asphalt HD as much, you know, as he is checking his email or looking at spreadsheets. So, you know, I think they would have been much better to bump the screen size up a little bit and increase the resolution. But, you know, I think that's their idea. They, you know, they don't want to kill the BlackBerry. They want to make an alternative to the BlackBerry. And I think that's what they've got.
Yeah, but these business people still want to, you know, watch the occasional video or look at photos.
And you can. I mean, it's not going to prevent you. It's just not going to be as good a multimedia experience as, you know, the Droid X or the, you know, even the Droid 2. You know, like I said, I think they probably should have went a little bit bigger, but I can see, you know, I can see the point of having it.
The resolution. Oh, that's going to be tough. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, there's really no excuse.
Dieter said something else that was interesting in his hands-on, and is that the extended battery really isn't much bigger than the stock battery that comes with it. And so it was a little odd to him that it just didn't come with the extended battery by default.
So it's got to be a money thing, because the Droid X was the same way. The extended battery for that phone, it just bumps the backup just ever so slightly. You can actually fit the standard battery cover over the top of that battery.
Huh.
So go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, you can even go down to the bottom end. The charm is the same way.
So they're just trying to make money off those extended batteries.
Yep. Oh, I love the keyboard. Oh. I don't even have to use it. I know what it feels like.
Really?
I do. It's the Q9H keyboard. It's a Moto keyboard. It's going to be good. Oh, I can't wait. Yeah. All right, I'm getting it.
Are you?
I'm absolutely getting it. I'm probably getting
it. You know, so one thing I saw in Dieter's review was he was saying it was a little top-heavy, and I could see that,
mm-hmm.
you know, just from...
I'm okay, but I mean, the Droid X kind of, well, I like to say it's kind of the same way, but it's kind of not. It's pretty well balanced. Look at the keyboard. Just look at the keyboard. That's all you need.
Well, the nice thing about it has no moving parts.
Yes.
That's a plus.
Nothing to break down, except for the keys.
Yeah.
But, ooh, look at that. I love how they even included the little microphone button, right? So they didn't forget about that. Which would have been really dumb. I don't know what else about the Droid Pro. It's thin. It looks thin. It's a world phone. I mean, I go out of the country once a year at this point, right? So whatever, that's a novelty. But I can take this phone and it will work, even though it's Verizon.
Well, and they're pretty good about unlocking the... When I had the Touch Pro 2, I called them up and said, hey, would you unlock my phone so I can use other SIM cards? And they didn't argue with me at all. So it's pretty
there
nice.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Yeah,
Phil, you'll have to decide, you know, whether Verizon or AT&T does you the best. And now you have a choice. That's always a good thing.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right. What else? So we had the Motorola Citrus was announced as well. It's kind of a low-end phone. Not kind of. It is a low-end phone.
Low-end with good innards, though.
Right. And that's what's kind of weird. What are we looking at? We're looking at Android 2.1. You know, and they're even in the press release, they called it entry level. So, you know, make no bones about it.
Yeah, you know, they're aiming. You know, they're aiming at the bottom, and I am glad that they're finally giving the bottom something that you don't have to be ashamed of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the specs on this, they're nowhere near what the X or the Droid 2 is, but. This is going to be a well-performing little phone.
Well, and remember, that's always kind of been my complaint, is that it's one thing to have a low-end phone. Like, don't even say low, just call it bottom-end. It's another thing to just have a crappy bottom-end phone.
Right.
And at that point, just have a feature. You know,
Motorola's doing some pretty cool things. I mean, they had their one-trick pony 4 or 5 years ago, and now they're actually being very diversified. They're offering a lot of different options at different levels, and I think they're doing some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, so do I. I think that they're going to find a lot of success doing that too. I really think these bottom end phones that they've come out with is going to make them a fortune.
It's 25% recycled plastic.
Well, there you go.
Does that do anything for anybody? I mean, that's kind of it's not really a selling point, but it's a bullet point that gets put into these press releases.
You know, if there was two phones sitting there that performed pretty much identically and they both felt good in the hand, I'd go for the one that was a little bit more environmentally friendly.
Yeah.
You know, if that was the final decision maker, yeah, I'd go with it. So I don't blame them for putting it on there.
Verizon, Verizon, Verizon. As long as we're on Verizon, let's talk about the LTE rollout, because that was announced yesterday. 37, 38 cities. We get a link up in there, and you can go see the entire list. It's basically the NFL cities, like we heard, plus 62 airports, which is kind of a big deal, right? They're obviously pushing business there, and I can't wait to try this out.
Oh, I'm excited.
Travelers of the world,
I can't wait to get my hands on it.
Yeah. Yep. The airports is a genius move.
Yes.
You know, that's genius.
Tell you what's interesting is Detroit, right? So Detroit won't be covered at launch. And the reason for that, wait for it, everybody. This is the chat room. Any of you guys remember? Did you see it? Waiting for the hashtag to show up. I'm not going to sing it. I should. Blame Canada. There's a city across the... Is it the river or the ocean? Not the ocean. The lake.
It's the Detroit River.
The Detroit River, yeah. So there's a city across the river in Canada. Apparently there's an RF issue. It's a TV station that causes a little bit of problems. So they're working through that, and Detroit's going to get it, just not at first. I'm excited about LTE. And basically when they flip the switch, they're flipping the switch hard. So we're going to see almost 40 cities plus 62 airports. And that's just the start. Now, as far as phones, we don't know anything yet. They say we're going to see some at CES, which sounds about right. We've had that rumor going around for a little while that we posted up in the forums that the Verizon CTO had been spotted with an Android phone with LTE symbols on it. And I entirely believe that. I definitely think that's probably true.
Oh, sure.
So it's just a matter of when we see them.
The rated 12 phones a week, I'm sure we'll get something LTE pretty soon.
Like next week, yeah.
And before anybody complains, I don't want to wait until next June. Yeah, you do. I mean, they've got handoffs to take care of. Once they get the flip the switch and get it turned on, that's when the real work begins. So you don't want a rollout that doesn't work. Give them their time and you'll be very happy in 6 months.
Yes. It's going to be very, very cool, though. Ooh, I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm going to have to switch to Verizon full time.
Give me a couple years when I move. I can't get Verizon where I live, but where I'm going to be moving to when my kids get out of school is on the LTE map. Bada bing.
You want to talk about the Sprint phones? Sprint announced 3 on us all at once yesterday. None of them really too high end. You've got the Samsung Transform, the Sanyo Zio, and the LG Optimus S. The Transform is kind of like a little baby Epic. It's not branded Galaxy S per se, but it's like a baby Epic. It actually almost like the keyboard better because there are fewer keys on it. That was kind of my big complaint about the Epic keyboard, is there are just so many damn keys on the thing. It's like they didn't know when to stop. The screen's not as high res. It's low end, but I think it's almost better low end. 3.2 megapixel camera, 3.5 inch screen instead of 4 inches, but it does have a front facing camera too,
which blew my mind.
Yeah, that's a little surprising.
So, is there big enough a difference that the average consumer, if they were looking at both phones, that they go, "Yeah, I want the Epic over that phone"? Or, I mean, they kind of look the same to me.
The average consumer, there's a huge difference, and it's called $10 a month.
Yes.
Ah.
Yeah, oh, very, very good. So you got that extra $10 a month you have to pay for 4G. Even though you don't pay it for 4G, Sprint says, I know, that's what you're paying for.
And if you're not paying for the 4G, you're paying because you have a front-facing camera and you're going to use it more, then why is the Transform not $10 more a month? You're going to be using the same services.
Does anybody in the chat room who has an Epic or an Evo actually use the front-facing camera for anything? Go ahead, we'll wait.
I'd also like to know if they're using 4G.
Yes. Yeah, no Super AMOLED screen, I believe. So it's
no, no it, yeah, it's an LCD.
Right, it's an LCD, but I think it's going to be a good phone. It's not going to be a horrible phone. We've got one. Dieter's used it already, so you know it's not the worst thing in the world. And again, that's kind of what I go back to. If you're going to have a low end phone, make it a good low end phone. Don't make it cheap. Don't make it crappy just because it's supposed to be in the bottom end of the scale. Don't make it a race to the bottom. Then you have the Zio. We've seen the Zio. I used it way back in March at the Spring CTIA, and it hasn't really changed since then. It's still pretty plasticky, still really light, and that's something that always surprises people. Android 2.1, they're going to update it. 3.5-inch screen, 3.2 megapixel camera, 512 of RAM. October 10th, when is that? 3 days, you can have it, Sunday. So yep. It's, you know, okay, there's your black slab. And then another black slab, you have the LG Optimus S, which is like the Optimus One that we saw released in Asia a few weeks ago. 3.2-inch touchscreen, 3-megapixel camera, mobile hotspot, Android 2.2. And this is the only phone out of all these three to launch with Froyo. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's the one that interests me the most on Sprint, too. I'd have to take a look at that one.
And I know I'm the only one who's really used it at this point, but don't discount LG's customizations. I really like what they did on the Optimus Z and think they have some good things in store. What do you think, Corey, out of those three?
I would, I don't know. I'd have to go with the Sanyo. I don't know why. There's something I like about the looks of that phone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It looks very Sony Ericsson to me.
It kind of does.
It does. Yeah.
Only it's actually going to be released this year and will be updated.
And it won't have 1.6 on it.
And it probably has a UI that works. Are we being harsh?
I will say one thing. I hate that menu button.
The Sprint ID thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dieter says it's not as bad as we would think it would be. I don't know. I'm going to withhold judgment until I've used it. The videos don't necessarily look like it's bad. Here's my thing. I think it's fine that the carriers do all this stuff. I think it's fine that they all want to have their own app stores. I think it's, you know, and we haven't even talked about the Android or the Amazon market, you know, running Android apps, whatever. We had this problem with Windows Mobile, right? Everybody and their mother had an app store. That's just going to happen. But I think what really causes fragmentation is when you have the carriers wanting to have their own just experience. I think what Samsung's done with TouchWiz is fine. I think what Sense does is fine. But when you start segmenting things and really separating them off that much more, like here's Sprint ID, and to really fully experience this phone, you have to use Sprint ID, and you don't have to. And in fact, it's pretty lightweight, everybody says. It's really just JPEGs and PNGs and XML files. But that's where I really get worried about it, is when the carrier starts segmenting things off that much. And you'll hear about it in the talk that Renee and I had. You know, he worries about Verizon creating its own branch of Android at some point. And then, you know, you're just stuck to that.
I see it happening.
They're the ones I'm most concerned about. It seems like Sprint, at least they're giving you the option to turn it off. Mm-hmm. Verizon
Verizon has resource to do it. And that's the scary thought. You know, maybe AT&T could do it too, but you know, Verizon, they can sink the money into it and do it if they want.
Chat room's freaking out. What a Sprint ID. We got a link in the show notes. Go watch Dieter's hands-on with it. That's really the best I can explain it to you. I mean, I can sit here and talk about it, but you need to see it. So go watch Dieter's hands-on with it. You want to talk about the AT&T phones?
Let's go for it.
Three more. So you got the Motorola Bravo, Flipside, and Flipout. The Flipout is not new. We've seen that. It's been released in Europe already. And in fact, we broke the news that it was coming to AT&T like a month or so ago. The Bravo is, a black slab, right? Any other way to explain that? It's a big black slab. Low-end black slab. Not really. Yeah. 3.7 inch screen, though. I mean, that's not a bad size. 800 megahertz processor, so it probably won't be slow. Android 2.1. Man, Froyo... We're starting to get to the point where if it doesn't launch with Froyo, I'm going to have issues.
Preach. Preach, brother.
I know it takes a little while to get stuff ready. I understand that.
Well, they've had a little while. You just don't feel bad. You just tell them like it is.
I'm really starting to get the feeling that Google just didn't let anybody have it early at all. That can't be true, right? There's no way.
No, it can't be. But because the most complicated update was the one that came out first, and that's HTC Sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had to have it early. They didn't get all that done in a month and a half.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's whoever had the biggest software developer teams and the most resources. I don't know.
I'll buy that. The flip side, horizontal slider, 4-row keyboard. Android 2.1, so 3.1-inch touchscreen at that same 320 by 480 res that the Droid Pro has. It's got that weird giant thumb trackpad thing on it. I'm not crazy about that. I hope that's...
Oh, I love that.
Yeah? You like it that way? Well, you got big...
Yeah, on the charm, thumbs, I loved it.
Yeah?
Man, I think it's just god-awful.
Yeah, it looks horrendous. It. When you have something like that versus like the little thumb trackpad on a BlackBerry.
Yeah.
There's just no comparison. Not good. Not good. It's got an FM radio. I know people love that. 720 megahertz processor. We'll see. Again, this is their new feature phone, I think. And especially on AT&T, right? Android is their feature phone. What do you guys think of the flip out? I can't wait to just try it. Everybody who's used it is like, all right, that's a nice gimmick, but not really usable.
Okay, the flip out, I had, you know, I don't own a charm, but I've had a good while playing with one for a review.
Mm-hmm.
The touchscreen on it is worthless. If you've got these big man thumbs, there's no point in making the keyboard swivel out of the way because you can't use the phone with just the touchscreen. I think that's just a part that's going to wear out, a part that's going to break, and everybody that bought it is going to wish, damn, I wish this thing didn't swivel and this keyboard was here all the time. So there's your review for the flip out. We're done with that, Phil. You don't have to send me one.
So I honestly can't see any adult using this phone. I could see my nieces, you know, like my 13, 14-year-old nieces using this phone, but it looks very childish to me.
And maybe that's the idea. Oh. I mean, it's a pure motorboat phone, so. What about a grandparent? Probably not. I think the keyboard's probably a little small for that. It's good to see AT&T getting more Android phones, though, even if they're not, like, high end. And the Captivate is still the best that AT&T has at this point.
Yeah.
What else? So that's, like, 10 phones. How many do we have left? T-Mobile announced the LG Optimus T, and we got a hands-on with that. They didn't do, like, a big CATIA announcement. They're just like, hey, here it is. It's basically the Optimus S. Only Optimus T for T-Mobile. Get it? S for Sprint, T for T-Mobile.
Yeah.
And again, the same thing, but it's got Froyo on it, so it's going to be good. I think people will be pleasantly surprised with the LG stuff.
I think that phone's going to do great on T-Mobile. Mm-hmm. They put it out in purple to start with. T-Mobile, they make these bright colored phones and they sell great. You know, it's going to be fast. It's going to be better than the phones most people have been using for the past year or so. They're going to love it. I think it's a wise decision.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Looks pretty good.
Dieter also got his hands on the Motorola Defy, which is one of those rugged phones. We've seen videos of it, I think, underwater this week, too. It's weird at these trade shows. You always see, like, one booth that has a big tub of water, and then people start dunking phones under it, and then everybody takes video. It's really weird until you see one of these things. But so we've seen the Defy. It's got a 5-megapixel camera, and you know it's got Android 2.1 again. 3.1-inch touchscreen. But if you need something that's a little rugged and you're on T-Mo, there you go. You have it. That's the phone that Oprah gave away to everybody on her show like 2 weeks ago. You get a phone. You get a phone.
I couldn't make it that day, so I didn't get one.
Yeah, what are you talking about? You watch Oprah every day.
Yeah, but I just couldn't make it to the live showing.
Oh, you were a little busy that day?
Yeah, I was shopping.
So is it a Droid X without physical buttons? It kind of looks like that to me.
A little bit. I mean, not that high end, right?
Yeah.
No, it's...
Yeah. It's got the big blur stamp on the back.
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
They're not running from that image.
I really wish they would change the contacts link, like down there on the launcher.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't had a lot of time on the old blur. I've played with it a little bit. The new blur isn't that bad. Mm. It has a lot of nice features that I wish, you know, stock Android or Sense had in it. It's got a lot of piss poor features, for lack of a better word, too, but they all do. You know, we need to stop giving blur such a bad name. I'm sure there's a lot of people that love it.
I think it's fine. My only thing is that having a dedicated contacts button down there is just like, okay, I mean, yeah. I've got the phone, so I can get to it quickly. I'd rather have like the browser, or God forbid you make it, you know, configurable.
And you know, the worst thing with the new blur, let's say you hit the phone button, it brings up the, you know, the dialer screen, and at the top of the dialer, there's a set of tabs. You can switch from phone to contacts to call list. If you switch it to contacts and then closed it and hit the phone button again, it comes back up as contacts.
Mm-hmm.
So the two buttons down there do exactly the same thing.
Exactly, and that's my point.
Oh,
well. Otherwise, yeah, I like a lot of the blur customizations. So that's kind of it for CTIA at this point. Dieter has a couple more hands-ons coming. I know we met with HTC this afternoon. We have one of the new Desire phones coming up. Anything else you guys want to talk about from that end?
I just can't believe that so many phones are coming out. It's amazing. Not as many as I was excited about last week. But
every time I meet with these guys, it's like, all right, what can you put into a phone next? Whether it's HTC or Motorola or Samsung, it's like, geez, what are you guys going to do next? And they always surprise me with something. So, you know, in 6 months, it'll be something else entirely, right?
Yep. And yeah. I look forward to it.
So speaking of another new phone, but one that I think a couple of people have found prototypes at CTIA, but nothing really usable yet, is the MyTouch. It's another HTC phone on T-Mobile. 1 gigahertz Snapdragon. It's front-facing camera on T-Mobile, no less. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the first for T-Mobile?
Yep.
This thing looks kind of sexy.
Well, I mean,
it's got a little thumb trackpad. It's got four physical buttons. It's got that Genius button. 3.8-inch touchscreen. It's weird that we've gone up a tenth of an inch.
They said 3.8-inch on the G2 as well, but it's not. It's 3.7.
Right. So
this could be just an issue.
5-megapixel front camera, one on the front, 8-gigabyte micro SD card, swipe, Froyo. Man, swipe's just everywhere now. I don't think a phone comes out without swipe now. They did a really good job selling that. Good job, swipe. Hats off to you.
Yeah. And, you know, the G2 is the first phone I've used that had swipe baked into it. Oh, man, it works a lot better that way than the download the beta. So, you know, I'm liking it a whole lot more than I ever did before. So, cool.
Everyone in the forums really wants swipe to be on the market, though. If you can't have it on your phone, it's just awful.
I understand
give
that.
Give me swipe.
Yeah, no, and I've met with the swipe leadership, you know, the CEO and the CTO and the co-founder and whoever, I mean, a couple of times now. They're really nice guys, really great company. And that's just their business model. And I know it's frustrating, especially for the older phones, right? No swipe for the Evo, that's right. But I tell you what, the Evo does have, I love HTC's keyboard. I think they did a really, really good job with that keyboard. I could use that keyboard all day long.
Yeah, I like a couple other keyboards as well, but on the Evo, I find myself going back because there's no way to move the cursor without HTC's keyboard. So,
and then you've got the swipe beta. So if you know, if you're in on that, you're good. And yes, the APKs are out there. I'm not that naive. I mean, I respect Swipe's business model, but I'm not that naive, and neither are they.
So. Boot him, Corey.
That's Brent's job.
Am I going to get banned for even saying the word Swipe APK?
Hey, you know, if it's not in the forums, it's out there somewhere, right?
US Cellular and Cellular South are getting versions of the Galaxy S. US Cellular is getting the Mesmerize. Cellular South is getting the Showcase. I got to do jazz hands whenever I see that. Getting the Showcase.
Really? I think of The Price is Right.
Yeah, that's not bad either. Ooh, dude, that's how we should totally give one away. Go ahead, and you got to sing the rest of the song now.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay, we'll just pretend I did.
Okay.
Yeah, let's work on what you just said, Phil. That's a sweet idea.
That's a very good idea. Talk to me about the G2, Jerry. You've got one. I don't. I'm still pretty pissed about it.
Uh-huh. I love it. It's... The best thing I can think of to describe it is it feels and runs like the Nexus One with a keyboard on it. It's a little bit heavier. The size feels about the same way. The materials that make it up, they feel the same. It really reminds you of a Nexus One in your hand until you flip it open. The keyboard is excellent. I really love those three little keys they put on there that we all were like, meh, when we first heard about them. Oh, I love those. I really, really, really love those. I'm not in an HSPA Plus area, so I'm not, you know, feeling the speed that some people are talking about.
Hey, you know what?
But what?
I'm not even in a T-Mobile 3G area.
Now, and that's another thing. On my N1, where I work is down in my basement. I can get a 3G T-Mobile signal on the N1. I can't on the G2. I have to actually go by the front door to see any 3G. So the radio in it either is not as good or needs a little bit of software tweaking, you know, because if they can do it on one, they can do it on the other. But the overall, the speed, the fluidity of the phone, it's great. Put that 800 megahertz myth to bed, people. Not only does it benchmark just as good or better, it runs and feels just as good or better. And that's with no tweaking because there's no permanent root yet. It's a fine phone, and anybody that can use it definitely should check it out.
I love each and every one of our listeners and commenters and forum people, but there are two things that I just want to smack the crap out of you for saying. One of which is, it's only an 800 megahertz processor. And the other is, I don't have the update yet where I live, or I have it here. Yeah. Get over the 800 megahertz thing. It's just fine.
Right. And the battery life so far is amazing. That I did want to put in there. I forgot to mention.
Tell me about the hinge, because it's got this weird kind of Z folding hinge thing.
When I went and picked it up, I'm not going to take one if it's got a bad hinge. That's what I was telling myself. And my wife's saying, yes, you will. You're just talking a bunch of crap. You'll take whatever they've got. You want it so bad. You know, that kind of nonsense. When I got there, they had three of them that they had, you know, for people to look at. All three of them, the hinge was tight. You could, like on the videos where if you hold it upside down and shake it around, didn't open up. I took, you know, the one that I was fooling with and, okay, yeah, I'll take this one. Do I have to get one behind the counter? And they didn't even have any left behind the counter, so I got that one. The hinge is actually a little tighter than I'd like.
So here's the thing.
I'm hoping it wears.
I talked to, it's called a four-link hinge, they're saying in the chat room. Good. That's kind of a cool name, actually. So I talked to HTC for a few minutes this week and asked them about that. And when I talked to my guy at HTC, he's like, here's what happened. He said, I had that problem on mine. He says, I took it to the engineering I love it when the chat room messes with me. It's called a four-link hinge. Learn your engineering terms. So my guy at HTC, like, had the same problem. And he took it into the engineering guys. And he's like, look at this. And they're like, wait a minute, we fixed that. And so, you know, it's a problem that they knew about and they fixed. And apparently some got out. How many got out, I don't know. I don't think it's all that widespread. It's probably a little more widespread than HTC would like to say or like to tell me. But you know, if it was everywhere, I think we would have heard a lot more screaming by now. And these things always get magnified in the forums.
Right.
You know, the story kind of died after it initially came out, right? We haven't heard a lot about it lately.
Yeah, and that tells me that Phil's right. They did some tweaking, and when the big batch of them went out, there wasn't very many with loose hinges.
I'm looking in our forums right now, top 10, 12, 50. Yeah, see, I don't see any, like, giant screaming all caps, "My hinge is broken!" threads. If you get a bad hinge, take the phone back. Absolutely. Or better yet, try it out in the store first.
Right, that's what I did, and, you know, if they let me do it after they've seen the way I shook the first one, they'll let you. Well, the poor girl at the store, I thought she was going to reach over and just grab me by the throat. I was shaking the daylights out of them because I wanted to see how they, you know, how they'd act.
All right, now let's talk about the elephant in the room, rooting the thing.
Wah, wah. It's rooted. I've talked to a couple people that know what's going on behind the scenes that nobody wants to talk about. It's rooted. The root sticks. They're not going to release anything, any way to do.
Hang on, back up. When you say the root sticks, all right, so the initial root actually lost root when you reset the phone, right? When you shut it off, right?
It would reset itself. They've got that taken care of. They're not going to release or talk about anything until they get the NAND unlocked. They don't want to do the way that it was done with the Evo, where here's your root. You've got to do this and put these cards on your put these files on your SD card. You know, that's a little more difficult than the average person that would like to root their phone wants to go through. And they're going to, you know, they're working on it anyway. So they're just going to wait until they get it done. Hopefully it's soon, because they won't even tell me, the people I talk to, and I want it bad. Now I know the bigger elephant.
Yeah.
What HTC did is a good thing. Well, it got blown out of proportion.
Back up and let's talk about it, right? So this report came out from, who was it now?
New American Foundation, I think. Some public policy think tank group. Oddly enough, the chairman of the board is Eric Schmidt. Now, I don't think that really has anything to do with anything, but I find it really a weird coincidence, so I have to say it. They kind of really blew it out of proportion, and they used words like rootkit and, you know, stepping on consumers' rights and lawsuits and all this other stuff to blow it out of proportion for one reason or another. That's not the deal. HTC licensed some software that splits the 4 gigabyte chip into two separate partitions, and one of them is just like that weird Z drive you have on a Dell computer. That's there. You can go in the BIOS and say restore to factory settings. That's what the chip has on it. It's there in case you get an OTA that would brick or put your phone in a boot loop. It's not going to happen on the G2. It has a fail safe to boot from. So, you know, to me, that's a good thing. It's, you know, until you get the NAND chip unlocked where you can write to it while the system's up and running, makes it difficult to root or crack, but they'll get it.
T-Mobile actually came out tonight, Thursday night, and has issued a statement on this, and it reads as follows. As pioneers in Android-powered mobile devices, T-Mobile and HTC strive to support innovation. The T-Mobile G2 is a powerful and highly customizable Android-powered smartphone, which customers can personalize and make their own, from the look of the home screen to adding their favorite applications and more. The HTC software implementation on the G2 stores some components in read-only memory as a security measure to prevent key operating system software from becoming corrupted and rendering the device inoperable. There is a small subset of highly technical users, that's us, who may want to modify and re-engineer their devices at the code level, known as, quote, rooting. But a side effect of HTC security measure is that these modifications are temporary and cannot be saved to permanent memory. As a result, the original code is restored. Which is exactly what you just said, only in PR speak.
Yep. And the biggest thing is they found out exactly how that's being done. Mm-hmm. And once you know exactly how something's being done, eventually you'll find out a way to undo it. So I'm not worried. Go ahead.
And I watch all the guys on Twitter. I'm not nearly as smart as everybody who, you know, does all this code stuff. But, you know, there's a lot of talk like, hey, you know, why can't you just add in like the fast OEM, you know, fast boot OEM unlock, like on the Nexus One, right? You know, one little line that you type, and it totally unlocks the phone. You're good to go. Would it be?
Well, that's.
I mean, the challenge is as much as anything else, right?
To some people,
well, to some
I'm too old for that. I don't want the challenge anymore. I want to be able to OEM unlock just like the Nexus. I think you're absolutely right. But to some people, yeah, the challenge is getting it done.
I'm excited for the G2. I really am.
So am I. You know, it's not so different that it's there's no one thing on it that's mind blowing, but it's a really nice phone.
Mm-hmm. What next? Google TV. You want to talk Google TV for a minute?
Yes, I'm excited about it.
I ordered mine. Did you get one, Corey?
Oh, did you?
I did.
I'm about to. Yep.
$300. It's expensive. All right. Here's. I gotta quit saying here's the thing about this, but here's the thing about this. It's TV. It's internet. It's internet in your TV. Do I need it? I don't know. I'm still kind of on the fence. I need it because I'm a big nerd, and I understand that. I've seen it in action. You know, I've been in the same room as it. You know, for a couple times now, and it's really, really cool. Do I need YouTube on my TV? I don't know. Do I need a browser on my TV? I don't know. Hey, speaking of TVs, I finally got a high def TV. I finally got a big, good TV. And if you haven't heard the sob story, it's
I have read some reports of what happened. That
Took three trips to the store. I'm not going to say which store. Sears, you know, sold me a floor model that didn't work. Sears. But finally got it home, and I've got a 50-inch plasma in the living room, and I'm very happy. And I want to, in fact, quit the podcast right now, and you guys finish. I'm going to go watch TV for a little while. So Google TV brings the entire internet to your TV. And you got a couple ways of doing it, one of which is the Logitech Review, which is this set-top box that was just announced. It's been announced for a while, but it was just launched on Wednesday. You can pre-order it now for $300. And then Sony is actually baking it into their TVs. I'm not sure which way I think is better. Probably the set-top box. When it comes to like living room type stuff, that's kind of how I'd rather have it, so I can swap out one piece if it goes bad.
Yeah.
Or if I just don't like it. Same way with computer stuff. So you get a full browser, right? It's got Chrome on it. It will run Android applications at some point. Not out of the box, not yet. It's $300. You can get a camera that you can mount on your TV so you can do video calling over a Logitech video chat. That's another $150. It's got a full keyboard, which is cool. And then you can get like a little mini keyboard, which is another like $100 or whatever. So I don't know. I think the money is a pretty big barrier to entry at this point. Will that come down at some point? Probably. But at first, what do you guys think?
I think it's a little expensive, especially when you can get like a Roku for $110.
Yes. You can get it for $50.
Yeah.
The low-end, low-def ones, yeah.
I think the bigger news is the fact that Sony has adopted it. And they're going to be integrating into their TVs. I think that's a pretty strong statement that this is going to be a pretty successful thing in the future.
Yep. And that's the thing. I can't talk my wife into letting me buy Logitech set-top box. I have a Myth TV computer running through the TV, so I've basically got everything Google TV can offer anyway. But if I was TV shopping, I could say, hey, look, baby, why don't I get this one? And it's got Google TV built into it, too. I could probably talk her into that. So that to me, that's going to make the big difference, because I've tried. There will be no Logitech set-top box in Jerry's house until it gets a little cheaper.
I was thinking about it yesterday, and like, how do I check my email on it? I mean, I assume I'll have like just normal Gmail access, you know, through the
browser. Yeah, you go to the browser, I'm sure.
Right. So that'll be interesting. Right. I haven't used it, you know, firsthand yet. Unfortunately, I should have gone to CTIA. Man, I didn't. Damn you, 1 month old child! I was like, I can put you in my carry-on.
Why would you do that? I mean, your laptop's sitting right next to you, right?
Exactly, and that's what's I saw somebody on Twitter today saying like, I have an iPad. Why do I need like all another thing? So, I think you might be right. In fact, that's something I hadn't really thought about. That could be a real selling point for new TVs.
I was talking with somebody on Twitter that had some questions the other day. And I told them what I know, and they said, well, why doesn't somebody just make a tablet that runs Chrome or Android and has DNLA on it and just make an all-in-one unit that does everything you want?
Right, down this day, October 7th. Guarantee you this time next year there will be.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely.
I was trying to explain DLNA to my wife as we were buying a TV the other day. Because if you go back and Dieter had a hands-on of a Windows Phone 7 device that has DLNA. And I hadn't seen this actually done before. And you just literally take your photo and flick it, you know, like flick your fingers on the screen. And it flies up to the TV very automatically.
Oh. You might have just lost a writer if Windows Phone 7 could do that kind of stuff.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, speaking of which, and I know we're totally going off topic here, but actually I'm going to be at the Windows Phone 7 launch on Monday in New York.
Are you really?
Yes, I'm going back to my my old stomping grounds of Windows Phone and Windows Mobile. So that'll be fun. So it'll be good to see. I'm going to take a whole bunch of Android phones. Don't worry about it.
All 20 of them?
I totally should.
I'm trying to picture your house when you get a Gmail. Like, you probably have like 20 alarms going off all at once.
No, I had to silence every single phone in the house just because, yeah, it sounds like a casino in here.
Jeez.
No, I'm excited for Windows Phone 7. I really am curious to see what happens. And no, chat room, calm down. I'm not leaving Android Central just yet. Calm down sorry, you're not that lucky yet. I think it's important to keep an eye on that because it's probably the most innovative platform since Android, I think.
And they're going to drive each other.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I want Zune Pass on Android. Man, I forgot Zune Pass was on was on Nokia. You can get it on the Ovi phones in the Ovi store.
Can you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Matt Miller mentioned that the other day, and I completely forgot about it. So now I'm going to switch to Nokia, actually.
Oh, well, you'll be back. I have no worry if you say you're going to switch to Nokia. You'll be back in 20 minutes.
Vinny Jr.
I'll be dead in the grave with my Android phone. I'll never leave it.
You see, Tony Curtis was buried with his iPhone.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. That guy's hardcore. Tony Jr. in the chat room asked, have I seen the Windows Phone 7 OS? Yes, actually. I was at the launch in Barcelona in the spring. So I've seen it, you know, months ago. I saw the real early version. So I'm curious to see it again now. Nokia is like the ugly cougar trying to seduce Phil. How right you are, Sean. You have no idea. And now we're really going off track.
I think that got me and Corey speechless, the cougar remark. It just got real quiet.
I'll explain that one later. Let's dive into some software news. Actually, Google had some pretty big software news this week. It's kind of inside baseball, kind of back-end stuff. But first off, they opened up the Android market to paid apps to many more countries. There's a big list out there somewhere. And it's a big deal for these two reasons. India and China. And, of course, the rest of the world. Right. But especially, I mean, we're talking billions of people who didn't have access to paid apps. And more importantly, billions of people whom developers can now sell their apps to. That is a huge, huge thing.
Yes.
And yeah, like you said, India, they sold a whole lot more Nexus Ones in India than they did in the United States.
Oh, absolutely.
So I'm really glad to see that.
And along with that, we can now actually buy foreign apps in U.S. currency now, which is nice to see. I don't mind like buying something in pounds. I can kind of do the math or euros, but not really. I'm not a math guy. That's not good.
And that's something I wanted to ask you about. Is it really charged to your credit card in U.S. currency, or have they just changed the display? I can't find anybody that knows for sure yet.
I think it's just a display.
I don't know. My wife pays the bills. Yeah.
There's like an app in there. It was like $1 million in some foreign currency. I can't remember what it was.
Chat room saying they just changed the display, and that makes sense.
Well, yeah, but that kind of drags it down a little bit because there are a lot of people whose banks, especially credit unions, won't allow foreign currency to get charged to their card when it's in that little bitty amount. Yeah, our credit union, I can't do it. I have to use my other bank card just so I can use the market.
Interesting.
My credit union always charges an extra fee for every, you know, international transaction fee, so I don't know.
So, yeah, it'd be nice if they could set it up where Google is like the middleman they pay the developers and then they charge for the app.
That's not a bad idea, actually.
Yeah.
Mark your calendar.
Google also picked up BlindType, which was that very, very cool keyboard.
Can't wait to get my hands on that.
Oh my god, that's going to be awesome. I'm hearing some good things about Gingerbread. Nothing I can really say yet, and really nothing I can wrap my head around. I just have people emailing me like, oh, it's awesome.
It's awesome. Wow.
All right, let's move on. Firefox for Android hit beta status. That is a big deal.
Yes. Yes. Big deal.
I've been following Firefox for, actually, I started way back on the Windows side, right? It's since been killed for Windows Mobile, and I've been so excited for a long time. And in fact, Matt Brubeck from Mozilla has been answering questions in the comments. And I think I'm happy to announce that he will be taking part in our developers forums.
Sweet.
Very sweet. If you guys haven't been to the forums and the dev forums, I urge you to go check it out. We're still building them out, but we've already got like SwiftKey in there, Box.net. Matt's going to help answer questions on Firefox in there. So that's huge. Very, very cool thing. Love seeing the developers directly interact with all of us and answering our questions. And it's a great way to just report bugs and ask for features and get betas and stuff.
Gives users like a one-on-one with the guy who's writing the software. So take advantage of it, you guys. Mm-hmm. Get in there and ask them your questions.
So let's talk for a minute about Firefox. Literally, it's Firefox on your phone. They've done just a really good job with it. It's now in beta, right? It's been in alpha forever. It's still not completely optimized, so it's still a pretty big install. That's going to change in the beta 2, Matt has said. And he's got a really good post. We'll get a link up definitely in the forums in one of the blog posts too. He's got a great link explaining why it's still big. Mm-hmm. And I was telling Jerry before the podcast that it really helped wrap my mind around the way Android works now and just the way software talks with Android itself and why some apps are larger than others. So it will get smaller. Everybody calm down. Although I think we're going to have to start getting used to things just being bigger. Between operating systems and applications, that's really the way we're starting to move a little bit. And I think once we start getting dual core phones, that'll change the game a little more too. But it's Firefox. It's the same rendering engines. You have extensions. You can run extensions just like you can in Firefox. Firefox Sync, so you can sync your passwords and your bookmarks and everything, and get it all right there on your phone. Very, very cool.
And yeah, it's standards compliant. Android may have a Chrome Lite-ish version of the browser, but the new Firefox, it does everything that it will do on the web.
Well, and Guy Verve in the chat room asks, why isn't there a Chrome-branded browser on Android? Essentially, there is.
Yeah, it is. It's the Chrome rendering engine, Lite.
Right. If you ask anybody at Android, they're going to basically call it Chrome.
And if they made it equivalent to Chrome on the desktop, everybody in the chat room would be screaming about how big it is and how slow it is. That's just the way it goes.
The full version of Angry Birds is finally coming next week. They have announced they had some couple issues getting the multitasking to work correctly. So they're figuring that out, and that's fine because I finally uninstalled it because I only had 15 levels and I beat them all. And my wife, meanwhile, is over there on her iPhone cursing the thing because she's like, I'm stuck on this level. She's playing Fruit Ninja now, too, by the way.
Woohoo!
And my daughter's now playing Fruit Ninja. She said, Daddy, can I play on your Nexus One? We were in the car this afternoon on the way home. Can I play on your Nexus One? I said, sure. Oh, wait, I got Fruit Ninja on here. You want to play that? Really? You have Fruit Ninja on your phone? Yeah, I got Fruit Ninja. Skype for Android is now available. Oh, happy day. Sort of.
Yes.
More or less. So for a while it was exclusive on Verizon. Now the rest of us can download it. However, officially we can only use it over Wi-Fi. That's good and bad. It has been hacked by the gods at XDA and other nether regions. So you can use it over 3G. That's not official. I don't endorse using hacked software. Look, it's one thing if you use like software that somebody wrote that hacks stuff. I really don't have a problem with that. I'm not crazy about taking copyrighted software and hacking it like that. but it's out there, right? Again, I'm not that naive.
All right, well, it's time. Gather around the soapbox.
Yes.
I got so much grief for thinking it was great that somebody who paid for unlimited hotspot data was able to use 50 gigs. And everybody told me, you're just contributing to data caps. You're bad. You're evil. Each and every one of you that uses that hacked Skype on 3G, you are contributing to data caps.
Ooh.
Wow.
There's no way around it. Anybody can try to deny it, but that's why it's Wi-Fi only. And, you know, if you all want to try to beat the system, the system's going to nab you on the butt.
Thanks, Dad.
I'm done. You're welcome.
So at the same time that this happened, Fring sent out a press release that really had no useful information other than Fring Out is now live, which lets you call landline phones, right? Or it lets you call a normal phone number from Fring. I used to love Fring. You know when I left Fring? When it worked with Skype. I don't need... Look, and I like Fring. Fring's a good app. But I don't need yet another standard. I don't need yet another app that can only talk to its own app. Or I need something that's cross-platform.
I hear you. I wish all these guys would get together and...
I wish everybody would put Mr. Jobs to the task. Let's make FaceTime truly open source, cross-platform. Put it on every phone with a front-facing camera.
They said they're gonna. I'm not betting on it.
Well, neither am I, but, you know, that's what they said, so I'd like to see it done. That way we don't have to worry about, will this work with this, or, you know, how am I going to...
How's FireWire these days?
FireWire for the computer, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. You know, that thing that Apple introduced and tried to make standards.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah, I don't know.
So you said
FaceTime, Jerry. Is that the one you'd pick?
No, I don't care which one I pick. I just want it to work well with everything. If I had my choice and somebody asked me, just make Google Talk video chat work on Android phones,
right?
And open source it and let anybody else who wants to build it make it work.
It's the same thing with the video chat with the Logitech and Google TV, right? It's nice that you have it, right. But if I'm going to talk to my family back home while I'm on the road. You know, we're both going to have this Logitech crap up, and it's good software. I've used it, but it needs to be, you know, just something in the browser. Here's where I go to make it work, right? It needs to be just totally open, right. and just make it work, guys. It's not, please, kumbaya, peace, love, all that stuff.
I just don't want to do video chat. I don't think it's that cool.
I don't either. But some people do. And, you know, we can't make decisions for everybody, but wouldn't it be cool if we could? But, you know, some people want it, so let's give it to them.
You're right. It's a good point.
Vlingo Incar, Jerry, you want to talk about this for a minute?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. It's really all they did is they put like some sort of module in the software that you can activate Vlingo without pushing the button to activate it anymore. You turn it on and it goes to sleep, but it listens for the key phrase of, hey, Vlingo. If you say it, it jumps up and it asks you, you know, it's, hi, I'm ready. I forget the exact words it says. And it takes voice input just as if you had hit the button. It also activate.
No. Go ahead. You know what they should have done? They should have totally Star Trek'd it out. Computer.
I agree.
Oh yeah, that would have been awesome. Would have been
a nice touch.
Instead of hacking Skype, you all get in there and hack that. Make it talk to me in a, you know, preferably female English accent voice, and call me sir, and I'll love you forever.
Oh hey.
But the one other thing that's really cool is if you connect to Bluetooth, it automatically turns on the listening mode. So if you go to your car. And you pair it with your stereo or your Bluetooth unit in the car, it's ready. All you have to do is start talking to it.
Gotcha.
It's an awesome app. I heard you say, so you must have said at least 10 times how much you love that app. So I finally went and downloaded it. It's great. It works really well.
Well, you know, Google Voice Actions is great too, but it doesn't pick up my accent. The only one I found that can do it is Vlingo, so I'm all behind them. I love you guys.
All right, we're going late tonight, and everyone's just going to have to deal with it, but damn, what a lot of good news. And we got a lot of good voicemails and emails, too, so should we launch into some of them?
You're the boss, Phil. We'll do whatever you...
It was really a rhetorical question. We're going to do it whether you want to or not. So let's start with Christopher.
Hey, guys. My name is Christopher Walker. I just now purchased my very first Android phone. I'm very happy. It's T-Mobile G2. Loving it so far. But all of the options and availability and things that are on the Android is a little overwhelming right now. Is there some kind of guide for beginners like me that I could go to that would just have everything I need, you know, one source to have it all so I could customize this thing and get it running just how I want it? Thanks a lot, guys. You're the best. Thanks a lot.
It's called Android Central.
Yeah.
Right. Android 101s.
The forums, actually. Well, and the Android 101 series, which we need to get back into. But absolutely the forums as well, I think.
Yeah.
And I can see a new user being overwhelmed. You know, I feel for you, Christopher. Well, we're here to help you out. All the people in the forums are here to help you out. Corey's there to help you out. Take advantage of us.
Hey, and I'm still pretty new at this, too, right? I haven't even used Android for a year now. How weird is
that? Most of us are.
That's true.
Let's be honest. Most of us have only been using Android for about a year.
That's true.
It feels like 5 years.
What was your first phone, Corey?
I had the Droid.
Did you?
Yeah, for about, until the, what's the next thing? The Incredible?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Incredible after that.
And then it was the Evo. And bought one of each, I think, right?
Yeah. Then it was the Evo, then it was the X, and now it's the Fascinate.
All right, let's move on to Matt.
Hey, this is Matt from New Jersey. Hey, guys. So, yesterday we got all this news from CTIA and, all this Motorola Android news and all that good stuff. And then, of course, the Wall Street Journal publishes a story about the Verizon iPhone coming out sometime in January or February of next year. And, you know, I always think about this, and it almost gets me worried. I stay up late at night in my bed just terrified about what would happen if the iPhone came to Verizon. And what I picture is that everyone's going to move from Android to iPhone then, and because it's going to be on, I guess, the most reliable carrier. So what do you guys think is going to happen once the iPhone does come to Verizon? Is Android's market share going to drop? Is the iPhone just going to be the end-all, be-all phone that Apple wants it to be? Or do you think that Gingerbread is going to be what some people are hoping it is? Is that a design overhaul that kind of makes it more user-friendly for people that, basically infants that use the iPhone? And, that's it. So thanks. Love the podcast.
It's a hell of a question.
Yep. And I got a little bit of input. I've been thinking about this too, maybe not laying awake at night worrying about it. But one of the reasons why the iPhone didn't originally come to Verizon is Verizon wouldn't budge on having their own content store.
Mm-hmm.
Now that maybe Apple needs Verizon a little bit more, maybe Apple's going to budge. If they do and let Verizon put their own content store on it, Verizon is going to pimp the daylights out of the iPhone. And yeah, we're going to see Android sales drop a good bit.
The iPhone was like the second question asked during the LTE conference on Wednesday.
Yeah, I saw that.
not surprising given the Wall Street Journal story that came out. I forget who the Verizon rep was who was on the stage talking, but he basically said, look, at some point, I think our businesses are going to align, which is a very interesting, turn of phrase.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Corey?
I think the iPhone is going to be a huge success when it comes to Verizon, but I don't think Android has anything to worry about. I think it's equally going to be successful. It's already made a lot of traction. People have adopted the device. Verizon's behind it 100%. They've invested so much resources and time, and I just don't think anyone has anything to worry about as far as the iPhone. I have other things keeping me up at night besides that.
Sasha Sagan, just published a piece on PC Mag that basically talks about how they're not necessarily ruling out a 3G only iPhone, and LTE might not even enter the picture. And he writes, now notice the words he used. He didn't confirm an iPhone. He didn't actually say anything about future phones. But in the God, I love Sasha. In the Kremlinological penumbra world that is parsing statements about a Verizon Wireless iPhone, feel free to read whatever implications you like into what Higgins said. I don't know. I was going to go back today and see how many iPhone is coming to Verizon stories the Wall Street Journal has published. But everybody's saying that the guy who's been writing this stuff is the same guy who basically gets fed leaks by Apple. And let's not mince words about that. MG Siegler, TechCrunch had a really good piece on that. Yep. Yeah, I'm sure it's going to happen at some point. I think Android's done a really good job of getting the foot in the door, and it's a big foot, and the door is wide open.
And Joe Catskill just said in the chat, LTE is what they're waiting for. No, I don't think LTE is what they're waiting for. Verizon's going to want to make sure they've got a model of iPhone that works on CDMA,
right?
Because they don't want to limit their sales.
Yeah.
If they can get the iPhone on their terms, they are going to market this thing like you will not believe, and that's just my gut feeling.
Put the Droid sound on it.
There you go, and Bing.
put Bing on it.
Bing! Okay.
I just think people are making a bigger deal out of the iPhone on Verizon than needs to be. I think they've put so much behind Android. I'd be really surprised if they stopped investing all those resources and started pimping the iPhone out big time.
And you got to wonder if Verizon would nickel and dime it to the point where people are just like, I'm not going to, kind of like they've like Sprint's done with the Evo. Like, I'm not going to pay an extra $10 a month.
Yep. And in any case, it's not going to affect the phone that you have, and it's not going to affect new phones coming out. You know, just because we're not going to grow 8,000% market share the next quarter doesn't make Android any better or any worse.
Right.
So
I have a lot of friends too. They're like, I went through this too. I tried the iPhone out for like a week and I went right back to Droid. It's so much more customizable. It's business centric. There's all these things that you can do in Android that you can on the iPhone. I think that they've done a great job with it.
All right, let's move on to Robert number one. We got two Roberts.
Yes, this message is for the Android Central podcast. My name is Robert. My question is about the use of airplane mode. A few weeks ago, I had a flight to St. Louis, and I'm a former Touch Pro 2 user. And with the Touch Pro 2, if you put the phone in airplane mode, you could still use the Bluetooth and listen to your music or any kind of media on your phone. However, I noticed that with my Sprint Evo, whenever I would put it in airplane mode, it would not allow any kind of wireless connections, Bluetooth or anything, unless I took it out of airplane mode, which is defeats the purpose because I can't have the phone on during a flight. And I'm wondering if perhaps I just overlooked a setting that will allow me to have the phone in airplane mode and still yet use my wireless Bluetooth headset to listen to music or watch movies and hear the audio. Also, I've also noticed that whenever I'm using a Bluetooth handset or headset, whenever I would get a notification, the notification will still be heard through my external speaker as well as the Bluetooth headset. Is there a way to change that so whenever I'm using a Bluetooth headset, I can keep the sound from being heard notifications through the external speaker? All right. Thanks a lot for any help you could give.
All right, Corey, this is probably going to fall on you and me, right? Because we're flying all over the place all the time. Number one, when they tell you to turn your phone off, turn your phone off. It's not worth the hassle of dealing with flight attendants who are unhappy with you. I really recommend you listen to them. That said, I don't always turn my phone off and I put it in airplane mode.
And I just checked. I've got my Evo here in my hands and it's stock. It's not even rooted. It's in airplane mode with Wi-Fi and Bluetooth on. All I had to do is hit the buttons.
Yeah, the question did kind of surprise me as well, because I know you can, if you put it in airplane mode, you can still toggle Bluetooth and Wi-Fi separately using a widget.
I think, it probably shuts them off when you turn on airplane mode and you have to go back and turn them back on. I didn't have, let's find out. I didn't have them on to start with, so let me.
That's what I like about the Galaxy S, where you just swipe down on the top and you can toggle them off individually. Or on the Evo, you can add widgets or use the.
Yeah, and that's what it does. If I turn on airplane mode while I've got Wi-Fi on, it shuts off Wi-Fi. But if I hit the widget, I can turn it right back on without activating the 3G or the voice radio.
The new the new Motorola MotoBlur phones have widgets as well.
So. Yep.
Yep. Yep. The second question, I kind of struggled with that myself at first, but I found a program that I really like. There's a lot of programs you can download to manage volume controls and things like that, but the one I use is Audio Manager. So what it allows you to do is set up profiles so that you can just click on a button on your home screen, so you can have different widgets that turn off all the sounds for volume ringers and notifications and things like that. So if you're listening to music, it just, you know, you can just have it set so it just turns on the volume for that and turns off everything else. So there's different profiles you can set up. I know there's a lot of programs out there that do that, but that's the one that I picked.
Anything else on that?
No, I use Audio Manager too. So, I mean, I'm right along with Corey. That's how I do it.
All right, let's move on to, let's go and do the other Robert.
Yes, this is Robert from Charlotte, and I've got an original Droid that's rooted, and I'm really enjoying the rooted phone and all the things that I can do with it. And I'm only on a year contract with Verizon, so I'm looking into the future about what's my next Android phone, and I really like the size of the screen in the Droid X. I love the larger size. It fits well in my hand, and probably can wait on getting a new phone until maybe into the first quarter, maybe even early into the second quarter of 2011, and just didn't know what, if anything, was on the horizon in terms of, that y'all may know of, in terms of larger phones like the Droid X. I don't know if there's a Droid X2 on the horizon or anything else that might be coming down the pike, and if y'all could let me know that information or give me some insight in that, that'd be great. My wife also has a Droid Aris. She's probably going to want to upgrade from that a little bit sooner than that, and was thinking about one of the new Samsung phones for her. But if y'all could give me some insight into the future of Droid phones in the next 6 months, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
I don't know. All right, we know the merge. Let's talk.
Yeah, but that doesn't fit his big screen that he's looking for. So
it's pretty big. It's
so I thought he gave some excellent answers to his own question. So I think the Droid X is perfect for the next 6 months, and I think the Fascinate would probably suit his wife pretty well. I don't know that anything better than those two phones is going to come out.
I like the Droid X a lot. I still use it every day right now.
Yeah, I got to play with one over the weekend. I can see why everybody loves them. That is a big, pretty screen.
It's amazing. Amazing phone. So much that I had to get the Fascinate.
All right, let's get to Pat. Pat'll do it.
Hi, my name is Pat Stellato. My question is, I'm currently a BlackBerry user. I have a BlackBerry Storm 2, to be exact. I like my touchscreens. And I've been hearing a lot about this, you know, rooting and all of that for the Android phones. I'm interested in the Droid X, and I've heard, you know, many things about the Droid X being locked down, the bootloader being locked down, or the you know, something being locked down. But then I've heard that it's been rooted. So my question is, what exactly does that mean? Is it really locked down? Has it been rooted? You know, is it worth it to get a phone that can't be rooted if that's the case? So, thank you, and love your show. Take care.
What do you think?
So, yes, it can be rooted, and the place to go to find out how to do that is the forums. Yeah, I don't think it makes that big of a difference.
Well, you know, it is locked down. We can't say it's not. It is locked down, but that only affects even the smallest subset of people who want to even root their phones to start with. There's no problem rooting it. there's a problem changing a few things with it. You know, I don't want to get all technical because he didn't seem like, you know, he wasn't looking for technical answers, but don't worry about the lockdown things you're hearing. They're true, but they're not going to affect you.
Nope.
There you go. I think we're going to skip emails tonight. We're already going way late, and we'll have the bonus opening speak up here in a minute after the podcast anyway. So if you send an email, hang on, and we'll try to get to them some of them next week. I apologize, guys. Really good questions, too. That's it. You're going to let me hang on the vine like that, Corey and Jerry?
Yes.
That's great questions.
questions. Well, they're always great questions. You know, no matter how, you know, beginner questions or advanced questions, they're all great questions, so keep sending them.
Who wants to wrap it up? Corey.
All right, so wrap it up. Be sure to email us at podcast@androidcentral.com. Also get us all on Twitter @AndroidCentral, @PhilNickinson, @TCPJ_Mickey, @GBHIL, that's GB Hill, and follow our list for all our other writers. And by the way, I am now @CStreeter.
Oh!
If you want to follow.
Woo-hoo. Oh!
Actually, I have been for like a year. I kind of lied and didn't say that I had been. I didn't use it.
Twitter's going to blow up while we all find.
And all of this is brought to you by the Android Central store at store.androidcentral.com. You can also reach us at 888-468-6158 or leave a voicemail at 888-468-6158, extension 222.
That's it. Stick a fork in us. And I just tweeted out Corey's Twitter address on the AC account to 31,000 people.
There you go.
Nice.
I hope you don't have it tied to SMS or anything.
Oh, jeez. I don't know what I've done.
That's it, everybody.
Twitter.
Stick a fork in us. We are done. Good podcast, everybody. Thank you. Thank you, chat room. Thank you, Corey. Thank you,
Thank
Jerry.
You, guys.
That's Take it easy, folks.
See ya.
Good night.
This is Rich from Dallas, and I want to welcome men and women, girls and boys, people of all colors, including Android Green, to the Android Central podcast featuring Phil Nicholson and Jerry Hildebrand with their friends.
All right, so we're going to take a break from the 3 million phones that have been announced this week, and I've got Renee Ritchie on the line. Renee, what's going on, dude?
Not much, Phil. I feel really bad for you because of those 3 million phones. If I could, I would throw myself on top of you and go, leave him alone!
I feel worse for Dieter because he's at CTIA covering them and all, and I'm slacking here at home with the family. And
nice.
I'm holding my daughter as we do this, so I feel less guilty about it. My newest daughter. But you know, so you're getting kind of a bad rap lately, and I wanted us to sit down and talk about it and hold hands over this whole openness thing.
Kumbaya.
Yeah. I think it's just a big disparity between kind of maybe the readerships, because people would be surprised to find that you and I are actually pretty much on the same page when it comes to openness and Google and Apple and Android and iOS and how it all kind of works, right?
Yeah, I think actually it's beyond us, because when I read other technology columnists, they all seem to be, you know, on the page too. It's a rather crowded page, if you ask me.
Let's start with Android and Google, because sure. There's kind of a misconception. And last week we kind of did a big roundup with all the writers of what open means to us and openness and what it means with the platform. And I think you and I agree that it's pretty much misused almost by anybody.
Yep.
To kind of fit the purpose, right? To serve the purpose for what's going on any given day.
Well, I mean, unless it's you know, unless it's a free software foundation, if it's ever being used by a for-profit corporation, I just always consider it part of their marketing because that's their job. That's what their company exists to do.
Yeah. When I think of like open, I think of Mozilla and the way it develops Firefox and Fennec and the way it does its products. And that's not to say that, you know, Android isn't developed kind of in the same way, but, you know, Mozilla certainly, it feels more open. I can look up, you know, on any given day and see what's going on there.
Also, like Stallman. I mean, Stallman is open. You can say what you want about the guy, but he won't even use patented stuff. That's open. You know? The rest is degrees.
iOS is, you know, decidedly closed, right? Apple develops it, it gives it to you, and then you can do what you want within those boundaries.
Yeah, I mean, well, that if you look at the, because there's going to be so many definitions of open. Sure. If you look at it, Apple is a proprietary system, and they control the stack from, you know, byte of code to end product delivered to AT&T or your carrier of choice. It is their system. So in that sense, it's completely closed proprietary system. But inside it, you have stuff like WebKit, which is an open source project. So all these companies, they use what suits them, you know, to deliver the best results.
You know, I have an open website. I don't know about you. My website is more open than yours, I think.
And that's what brings all the boys to the yard. So
sure. Okay. No, I mean, it's really getting to the point where it's just ridiculous. I mean, I don't think, you know, Eric Schmidt standing up on stage saying, well, we're open and you're not. You know, that doesn't make me want to go out and use a phone. That doesn't make me want to go out and use Google services. You know,
no, it's positioning. It's corporate positioning. The same way Apple saying, you know, whenever Apple opens their mouth, they use corporate positioning too. It's just the way they're trained to speak.
It's politics. I mean, it's smartphone politics, and nobody wants any of that.
But the thing that's interesting is you have people who legitimately, like I said this on the blog yesterday, I don't believe in being fans for a product. I mean, I use all Google services. I have a Nexus One. I have tons of Apple stuff. I have moved around depending on what suits my needs, but I believe these companies should be fans of us. We shouldn't be fighting over Android or iPhone. They should be fighting over who can provide the best stuff to us. It's like the Coke and Pepsi thing. What, make me a better cola. That's all I really want in the end.
Do you think it's going to get better or worse? Do you think, or do you think at some point it's just going to hit critical mass and we're all going to be like, whatever, man, open, closed, you're all the same. Screw you. We have to buy your stuff anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, like, at the end of the day, we have to deal with the evil that is the carriers. And Android being open has not protected us from carrier evil. Apple being closed has not protected us from carrier evil. At the end, you know, people in the U.S. didn't get tethering for years on the iPhone. People on Verizon are getting kooky Android devices. So these models, in the end, I think, again, it's just they're just talking. You know, like Steve Jobs says, well, if you don't like the App Store, we have this open platform HTML5. Again, that's just he's using that as a spin.
And that's kind of when, you know, Eric Schmidt and Andy Rubin stand up on stage and we're open. Well, they're not talking to consumers. When they say open, they're talking to the carriers because that's code for you can come use this and do whatever the hell you want with it. And we're finding out, and this has been repeated again this week, and this week certainly isn't the first time, that, you know, there are licensing agreements even within Android that might need to be followed and hadn't been regarding patents with Microsoft.
Java. Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of a big mess. And
well, this is what I find interesting. I have a friend who uses Linux religiously, and he says he uses it because if he ever has a problem or something he doesn't like, he can just hack the kernel and change it. And I told him that's fine for him, but I have no ability to hack a Linux kernel.
Yeah.
So to me, using Ubuntu is effectively the same as using Windows or OS 10. It gives me no tangible advantages other than philosophy. And at the root core, making a decision on a product based on philosophy will always get you burned. There is no angels in any of these things.
You know what your problem is? You don't have a neckbeard.
I need a neck beard.
You need a neck beard.
All right, I'm going to work on that.
No, I mean, when they say open, they're telling the carriers, it's open for you to do whatever you want with. And there's this whole thing about bloatware now, and there's bloatware all over Android. This is not new.
No.
I came from Windows Mobile. There's bloatware all over the damn thing. I mean, that's just the way it was.
Carriers I used to have Dell laptops.
Yeah. You know, carriers put software on the stuff, whether it's open, you know, whether it's called open or not. And so these news stories are a little ridiculous, too.
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. This is just the situation that we have. And again, it's the same as Steve Jobs saying you can use HTML5 to develop apps. He's talking to developers. It doesn't help end users. I mean, the Google Voice app, it's HTML5. I don't know if that serves end user needs or that serves Google and Apple's needs. I mean, they're not talking to us.
Give me your spiel on Bing and Verizon because I think it's really good and I want everybody to hear it.
Well, no, I mean, like, I don't know which spiel because I'm working up to it. My greatest fear with this is that So like Apple, in a sense, disintermediated the carrier. Steve Jobs said something at D8, which I thought was very true. It rang very true. He wants a battle for consumers. He wants to sell to consumers. If they like his product, they'll buy it. If they don't, they won't. And he said like carriers and enterprise confuse him because they make decisions that's not based upon consumers liking products. And he doesn't understand that. And I think that's very true. And then all of a sudden, you know, Apple is dealing with that, but now Google, I wonder if Verizon would ever just make their own Android to the extent that they shut Google out. They would just make a VOS or whatever, and Google wouldn't have a shot at it.
I think Google then would say, all right, well, then you don't need Gmail or the market, which isn't
but
necessarily
if Android's making
out of
their
the
own
question.
Market, right?
Right, which isn't necessarily out of the question.
And that's what has shocked me so far is that Google has a, and I think Nilay Patel from Engadget was saying this, Google has a powerful weapon with Gmail and Market, mm-hmm. just like Apple has a powerful weapon with whether you can carry their phone or not because they have exclusive relationships. And to some extent, Apple has protected people, but certainly not with AT&T tethering or MMS or certain other things. And Google has done very little to protect consumers against Verizon misusing their software. I mean, they could deny them Market, they could deny them Gmail. And at the end of the day, that's what I'd really like to see is I'd like to see these companies focused on us, whether they call it open or closed, make it consumer-centric.
I think it's only fair that we have Google services put on Windows Phone 7 stuff. Although Verizon's not getting any of that from the start anyway. So
well, that was that funny article, right? That on some of the Verizon Android phones, Google actually makes more money off the iPhone than that phone because they have all the Google services.
And that makes sense. That's not surprising at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any parting words? You want to curse at me?
No, you're awesome. And I read Android Center religiously. You and Jerry are my conduit to all things that are beyond my scope. And I mean, my hat's off to you. Cover the hell out of 900 million phones a day.
I make it all up.
I know. No such thing as a droid.
Yeah, we have stock things and say insert phone name here, and that's pretty much it.
So I do the same thing.
At the end of the day, open, closed, which one wins?
Both. I'm a firm believer that we need balance in all things. I don't think that any form of extremism in any way works or is tenable. In the end, we have to have the best of both worlds. I like open communication protocols, proprietary interfaces. I like open stacks, proprietary hardware. I mean, I think that's the best of both worlds approach.
I'll sum it up by saying this. Isms, in my opinion, are not good.
Yes, no more isms. Down with the isms.
I don't believe in Beatles. I just believe in me.
Nice.
Thanks, Renee. We'll
Thanks,
talk to you later.
I appreciate it.